An oral history program by spanning generations serves to bring the generations together. Cindy McGee, a 17-year-old senior at Concord Carlisle High School, has been one of the students who has accompanied Renee Garlick on a number of interviewing and taping sessions. Cindy will be interviewing Mr. William Bolger, a lifelong resident of Concord and a history teacher at the high school.
Mr. Bolger is 57 years old, and he's been a teacher at Concord Carlisle High School since September of 1946. Mr. Bolger, can you tell me what was going to school like back then?
Well, first of all, I'd like to tell you about the locations of the schools as they were in Concord then. I went to the first grade and the third grade at what is now the Youth Center. It was then called the Emerson School. The second grade was on a hill, an old wooden building called the Ripley Building, on what now the ground where the Hunt Gym stands. The fourth grade was an old wooden building called the Portable Building, which now houses the school bus drivers over by the Peter Buckley Building. And the fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth grades were in the Buckley Building. The ninth through the 12th grade was the then high school is what is now called the present Emerson School. There was also an old wooden building, which was the, as we knew it, the old high school, which later became the superintendent of schools office, and there were classes in this particular building at the same time. Now, during this time, we took all youngsters from the town of Carlisle. It was not a region as it is today, but rather the town of Carlisle paid tuition for each of their pupils. We also took in some students from Lincoln. Lincoln was given the opportunity of sending their students, or the individual student was given the opportunity of going either to Concord High School, to Weston High School, or to Waltham High School. Lincoln paid tuition at whichever one of the three places that the pupils selected. Now, of course, the school was much smaller at the time. As a matter of fact, there were just 93 people in my graduating class.
What year was that?
1937.
From the high school.
1937 from the high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then one other interesting experience about, there was no such thing as school bus transportation, naturally, in those days. We walked to school in the warm weather, and then in the winter time, not as a regular thing, but on occasion, we rode to school on a pung. Now, a pung is something that the youngster of today knows nothing about. It was a large wagon with high sides, and instead of having wheels, it had big, large wooden runners with a steel belt on the bottom of the runner and was pulled by horses.
Okay. Mr. Bolger, do you remember any of your teachers?
Yes. How far back do you want me to go? I could recite just about every one of them.
Well, any particular ones that struck you? Your favorites, maybe?
Third grade teacher by the name of Leah Viles, a fourth grade Awilda Osgood, a fifth grade Mary Kane, a sixth grade Martha Arsenal, a seventh grade, the seventh and eighth grade or the junior high, there were four teachers, Emma Clahan, who taught math, Minna Findeisen, who taught history, Maud Findeisen, her sister, who taught English, and Margaret Murphy, who taught science.
Do you remember Miss Leggett?
No. No, Miss Leggett was no longer around when I started school. Wells Hall was the superintendent of schools.
Seems like a lot of the teachers were women.
Very good point, yes. As a matter of fact, there was not, in the entire junior high, are, let me say, in the entire elementary and junior high system, there was not a male.
Why was that?
No. No, the males just didn't go into elementary education.
Okay. Do you think that teaching has changed since you started?
Yes.
In what ways?
Size of the classes, the amount of offerings that the kids have, the fact that they're able to better choose their own programs. I basically think that kids are smarter, more intelligent now than they were back, shall we say, in the olden days. But I also think that discipline is a little more difficult now than it was back, shall we say, in the olden days.
Has the size of the class diminished?
Yes, I would say that. I would say that. Class size has, although classes I have this year would give lie to that statement.
I agree with the discipline. How much of an influence was the Catholic Church on your family's life?
The Catholic Church here in Concord had quite an influence on my family's life. Of course, I was not aware of it myself, but my father many times had told me that in order to go to attend Mass on Sunday, they had to hitch up the horse and wagon and go to Waltham. So all youngsters were baptized, First Communion, everything took place in Waltham. And it probably, it's sort of a happy event that the first Catholic Mass offered here in Concord was offered at the home of Molly Bulger, who was my great aunt. And since St. Bernard's Church has been changed, the stained glass window that was given to the church by Molly Bulger is no longer there, but in the back of the church now, there is mention made of the original donors of windows, and her name is mentioned there.
Your family goes back?
My family goes back to the year 1811 here in Concord.
I'm going to switch around now. Do you recall any memorable persons or events in Concord?
I can recall quite a few events. Probably the biggest event for me in Concord at a sort of, shall we say, a tender age was the 150th anniversary of the Battle at the North Bridge on April 19th, 1925, which, as a matter of fact, turned out to be a horrible day. Cold, wet, snow had fallen during the night, and I, for the first time, I saw a horse fall with a rider on his back, and he broke the poor fellow's leg, and they had to take him to the hospital. That's the one thing I remember most about that parade.
Not many people showed up, did they?
Yes, it was quite a crowd. There was quite a crowd. Nothing to what they had expected, however, because all the people in the vicinity had their farmland and all set for parking privileges, which they were charging, and not many people filled those spots up. Also, I can remember the hurricane, the first hurricane of 1938. There was no prior warning of the hurricane. They expected that it would go out to sea off Cape Hatteras, which it never did. Came right up over Long Island and then hit us here. There had been rain, quite a bit of heavy rain a short time prior to the hurricane, which loosened the roots of the trees, and trees were down all over town. As a matter of fact, on that particular occasion, I caught the last train out of Boston, because the 5 minutes past three out of Boston, walked home, more or less leaning against the wind. The 20 minutes past four out of Boston was blocked in Waltham with trees falling on either side of the train on the track, so the people had to spend the night in the train.
Okay.
Another event that I can remember very well was the burning of my grandfather's auto shop, which was on Cambridge Turnpike, where the Marabello Greenhouse is now. The fire was set It was a tremendously hot fire. There were about 10 cars ruined in the fire, one of them belonging to General Leonard Wood, who was a former commissioner of the Philippine Islands. Also, I would like at this time to make mention of two people to whom I owe a tremendous amount here at Concord-Carlisle High School. One is Helen Dexter, whom I had both as a teacher and a colleague, and the other is Jack Donovan, who was principal here at the high school for so many years and kept the high school a happy place to teach.
Thank you very much.
Who kept the school together for so many years, kept a good, happy faculty. The big difference now in the school in comparing it to the, shall we say, olden days is the fact that when I first came to the school, not only did I know all the members of the faculty, but I think I knew every kid in the school. Now, unfortunately, I even see a member or two of the faculty whom I cannot point out by name.
Thank you very much.
Okay.